Sounds like everybody can hear me this morning so far. Praise God. What an awesome lead-in to that. A young man is taking something that God has given him as a passion, and he is using it as a platform to be a blessing to others and to use it to bring so many more into the kingdom. What an awesome thing. It's kind of a good segue into what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with us this morning. But before I get too far ahead of myself, I want to pray this morning and ask God to just bless and breathe over his word. So if you will, just pray with me real quick. Eternal Rock of Ages, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we exalt your name above every name. There is no God besides thee, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that you are sovereign. Father, I thank you for the great, great esteem and undeserved honor of standing here and allowing you to use my voice to deliver your word to your people. I surrender this microphone to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I surrender my notes to you, Lord. I surrender this stage to you, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in and speak to your people. Speak to us. Speak a word from your throne to your people. I pray that at the end of this, Lord, that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that he will be made to look good. I pray that your people, the church of God, that your people will be edified, will be built up in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your word go forth as good news to the poor. I pray for that anointing this morning, that your word will go forth as good news to the poor. I pray that it will go forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as healing to the brokenhearted. I pray that it will go forth as a declaration of freedom to those who are in bondage, in the name of Jesus, as a declaration that this is the year, the time of the Lord's grace, the season of God's grace. Father, speak to us this morning in the name of Jesus, and give us an ear to hear what you have to say this morning. Give us a heart to respond, Lord, in Jesus' name. I surrender to you, Lord. I am your property. Use me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Everybody's looking good this morning. Glad to have everyone here. The issue this morning I want to talk and share with us very briefly this morning is, it's about purpose. Why am I here? Why are you here? And when I say here, I don't mean in this church right now, on this stage or in that seat. Why are you in this world? I mean, think about it. Just let that marinate in your mind, if it hasn't already at one point or another. Why are you on this planet? Why are you in this world? What is your purpose? Now, we can summarize the general reason for God's creating man in this way. That God created man essentially to glorify him. The purpose for God creating all of us is that we will glorify him. Let me put it in modern day language. God created us to make him look good. Simple. He created us to make him look good. But the question still stands. For you personally, how is my personal life? How is Gia's life? How is John's life? How is Ben's life? How is Fran's life? How is your life going to glorify God? What is your purpose? I pray that as God's word comes forth this morning, that you will grab that. If you have not thought about this before this time, that by God's grace, it will set you on a path of really engaging that question. And if it's something you've thought about and you've kicked it around several times, I pray that will get you further along the line on a path to really discovering and fulfilling purpose. This morning I want to come from Jeremiah, okay? So if you have your Bible, please, let's open our Bible. If you have a Bible app on your phone, let's just open our Bible. We're starting from Jeremiah right from the beginning in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is one of those prophets of the Bible that we happen to have a lot more information about his life and his ministry than we have of most of the other prophets in the Bible. And the topic of God's word to us this morning is a purpose to fulfill. A purpose to fulfill. We're starting from Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to park it right there for a little bit and look at that. So Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to start reading from verse 1. And I'm reading the New King James Version. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. That's a lot, huh? I know this is sometimes some of the type of passages that makes some of us kind of a little lazy to read our Bible. When you get to these passages that have this listing of names and genealogies, and it's like, what's going on here? What is this saying? It seems almost disinteresting. But God always has a purpose behind his word. Everything in here has a purpose. Everything in here has been placed here for your benefit. Amen. So first thing we see here is that we are introduced to Jeremiah the prophet. We're given a little background about Jeremiah. And the first thing what we see is that Jeremiah is the son of a man named Hilkiah. Hilkiah, who is a priest. Jeremiah himself is also a priest. Jeremiah, we see also, is from the tribe of Benjamin. When the land was divided up among the tribes of Israel and when they entered the promised land, Benjamin received this portion of land. Benjamin being the smallest tribe. And the town that they live in, the town that Jeremiah lived in, is a town we see here called Anathoth. It's actually the smallest town in this area of Benjamin. So what we have here is Jeremiah, who is a priest. He's from the smallest town in Israel, from the smallest tribe, and as a family of priests, their lineage actually dates back to the time of David, where their great-great-grandfather was a priest that David deposed. One of David's sons originally rebelled against David, son named Adonijah. He rebelled against David, and that priest sided with that guy, the son that rebelled against David. And so David deposed him, took away his priesthood. Jeremiah is connected to that lineage. So again, we have the guy, Jeremiah, from the smallest town and the smallest tribe, who is connected to a deposed priestly lineage. This is why we say when God is about to do something, when he's about to do the greatest thing, he doesn't go and look for the greatest, for the best and the brightest. He goes to the smallest town, to the smallest tribe, to a family that has some shame attached to their lineage. And he finds a guy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah also has an occupation. He's a priest. Before he has a calling, he has an occupation. He's a priest. Now, by that time standard, this was a pretty good gig. It was a pretty good job. Okay? Good pay, good benefits. It was secure. Very predictable. You know how it's going to end. You know how your days are going to go. You know you're not going to get fired unless you do something real, real crazy. Like idolatry. And even then, God was very, very patient. But he had a good thing, so to speak. And just like Jeremiah, most of us in our life, we have jobs. We have an occupation. Now, based on Jeremiah's current occupation and based on the call that he has from the Lord, which we're going to go get into real quickly, okay? Based on his life and his calling, after his calling, we're given some information about Jeremiah and the passion that he has. And based on the passion that he demonstrates after his calling and looking back before the calling, there is no such passion associated with his occupation, current occupation. And that, many of us can identify with that. Most of us work jobs today that we don't have any passion about. Can anybody identify with that? Most of us don't like our jobs. Can anybody identify with that? Amen. How many of us here love our jobs? Love that is going to be Monday morning tomorrow. We have a few. Right? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. Come on. As a matter of fact, Gallup did a study about several years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and they discovered that of the 100 million full-time employed people in the United States, 70% of them hate their job. 70%, 70 million people hate their jobs. And if we take that and spread that far out over the world, the number is even higher. It's 85% of people throughout the world hate their jobs. And this hate of our job, this hate of our occupation, you know, we've created cultures around it. We've created norms around it. I mean, anybody ever heard the song, "Everybody's Working for the Weekend"? Right? Everybody loves Mondays, right? How many people here love Monday? See? We got a couple, yes. But for the effective majority of us, Monday is not a day that we look forward to. Monday never did anything. I feel sorry for Monday sometimes, because Monday never did anything to anybody, right? And then when we get to Wednesday, that is the what? The hump day. Yeah. We're almost at the weekend. And then we arrive at Friday and we say what? TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, right? Because we have an occupation that is not engaging us. Gallup says that this 70%, this 70 million people feel the way they feel because they don't feel engaged in their occupation. And when they say engaged, they mean that there's no sense of passion for the job, or there is no deep connection to the job that drives things like innovation, that pushes the company forward. The effective majority of us. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us that Jeremiah may have been in that 70%, but we can surmise based on his passion after a call that was not there before the call, that he would have been in that number. And so we see here the guy from the smallest tribe, from the smallest town, from a deposed lineage, is the one that God selects. And in spite of your heritage, in spite of your birth circumstances, in spite of your lineage, God has a word to you today regarding your purpose. I'm going to continue and read here. Starting from verse 4, we're in verse 4 right now. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God comes to Jeremiah. God interrupts his life. God intervenes in his life, interjects himself into Jeremiah's life, into his occupation, and gives, brings some light, sheds some light into Jeremiah's life, and says this: "Before I formed you," God is the one who formed him in the womb. God formed Jeremiah. God formed you in the womb. before you were even born, before your mother and your father ever met each other, God was already at work in your life. God was at work. God was involved in the detail and the minutiae of your life before you were even formed in the womb. Before there was ever such a thing as your life, God was at work, intimately at work in your life. And so he says to Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says it this way. When we look at Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, for you formed me, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I was raised, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part. God's making of you, God's creation of you was an act of intent, was an act of skill. God's making you was a master, was God like a craftsman, a master craftsman sitting down and creating a masterpiece. I'm sure many of us here have sat in front of a beautiful sunset, or maybe sat at the Niagara Falls or Lake Victoria Falls and just been awestruck at the grandeur, had our breath taken away, and looking at some of the pictures that we see of space and seeing how grand it is. Do you know, as beautiful and as breathtaking, as awe-inspiring as those views are, those things are not the greatest of God's creation. They are not the pinnacle of God's creation. Do you know that the pinnacle of God's creation is you? You are the pinnacle of God's creation. God made you with intent. You are not an accident. Let no one ever tell you that you are an accident. In spite of the circumstances of your birth, in spite of the geography of your birth, you are not an accident. God, who is so meticulous in everything that he does, in making you, he said he was creating a masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared beforehand. Before you ever came into this world, God had upon your life an assignment. And so God is very intentional about your purpose. God lets Jeremiah know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. You are over here, and I took you from here, and I set you aside. Sanctified meaning he sets you aside. He says, and he does that because he says, I'm going to take this one, I'm going to put him over here. I'm going to take Fritz, and I'm going to put him over here because I have a purpose for his life. I'm going to use him. I'm setting him aside. He sanctified you. And then he said, I ordained you or appointed you a prophet to the nations. Do you know that after he has formed you, after he set you aside, God has a specific, unique assignment upon your life? There is no question about, does my life have a purpose? Your life not only carries purpose, your life carries with it a specific assignment. In Jeremiah's case, his assignment was to be a prophet to the nations. He would prophesy to Israel, prophesy to Assyria, to Egypt, to Babylon. What is God's assignment upon your life? What is God's assignment upon your life? You are not here by accident. God doesn't make accidents. He doesn't make accidents. You are a carrier. You are a carrier. Think of this. The great archangels, with all of their power and all of their glory, They do not carry the image of God. They do not carry the likeness of God. You are the only one who is the carrier of God's image and God's likeness. He does not do that by accident. God would not take his likeness and his image and lay it upon you as an accidental act. There is purpose attached to your life. There is purpose, there is meaning attached to your life. You must discover that purpose and fulfill it. And as God's word comes to you today, as it came to Jeremiah, the Lord is letting you know that indeed your life has meaning. In spite of what you may have been told, it's a lie from the pit of hell. If anybody ever tell you that you are an accident, you're a mistake. If you've ever heard anyone say that to you, it is a lie. It's a lie. Because God has ordained upon your life a specific assignment. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You are a carrier and a bearer of his image and his likeness. None of this just happens by accidents. It is an act of intent. How do I know that? How do I know? How can I discover this purpose then? I am convinced that throughout the Bible, there's a plethora of examples in the Bible, in God's word, regarding the fact that I have a purpose, a specific purpose upon my life. There are many examples of this, but the best example perhaps is the life of Jesus Christ. Revelation 13 verse 8 shows us, and it says to us, it describes him as the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The lamb that was slain, not when he was 33. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, meaning the reason he came into this world, the purpose for which he came into this world, was already fixed, was already established in the realm of the spirit. He now had to come into the natural, into the material world to walk out this purpose. It was a purpose for which he was uniquely qualified, formed, fashioned, shaped. Nobody else could go to the cross to take on my sin, to take on the sins of the world. He was uniquely qualified. Each of you here, as I said, God has a purpose upon your life, but God also has a specific assignment upon your life for which you have been uniquely formed. The events of your life, everything you've met in life, every experience you've had in life, God has fashioned you as an answer. Everyone here is an answer. You carry within you God's answer for some problem in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. You are carrying within you the answer for some problem in this world. Somewhere, somebody is waiting for you to show up and fulfill your purpose, which may lead to them kicking off their purpose. There is an assignment upon your life. Know this for sure. You carry God's answer to something in this world, in this life. You're not just here to go to work on Monday to dread Mondays and look forward to Fridays. You're not here to celebrate the weekends. God has an assignment upon your life. And so the Lord comes into Jeremiah's life and interjects himself and breaks up the monotony of his life. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, verse 6, then said I, Jeremiah now speaks, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Now, to some people, that may look like humility. And it might well have been, but I take a different look on it. When God calls me, when God has a calling upon my life, it's not for me to look at myself and not look at God. When I look at myself, I will never measure up to what God calls me to. If it's truly a calling from God, I will never measure up to it. I'm not qualified. No matter how much so-called qualification I have, I will never be qualified enough to fulfill a purpose that he has. Jeremiah looks at himself. Instead, my eyes should be on the Lord himself. My eyes should be on God. My eyes must always be fixed on him. Not on myself, not on my inability, not on my ineptitude. My eyes must always be fixed on him. And the Lord responds back to him. But the Lord said to me, verse 7, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. The reason you do not look at yourself, God here is giving Jeremiah a guarantee and says, Jeremiah, because I'm calling you, I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to tell you who to go to. I'm going to equip you effectively. It's what God is saying. Everything you need, I will provide. This is not about you. Don't get it twisted. It's not about you, Jeremiah. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about what I'm doing through you. God does not need your ability. He needs your availability. He doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. Like Isaiah, he needs you. All he needs you to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Maybe you've heard the illustration about cars and that, you know, I drive a Lexus, modest car. It's a modest car. I was waiting for somebody to say that. But anyway, I thank God for it, for that. If I want to know about that Lexus, okay, and what it's able to do, what it's capable of doing, what its limitations are, what do? I go back to the manufacturer, right? I need to go to the manufacturer. I have to go back to Lexus. And they have a manual of operation for that car. And if I need even further illumination on the things in that manual, I need to get back in touch with the manufacturer. You want to discover your purpose, you need to get back in touch with your manufacturer. The one who formed you before you were in your mother's womb. The one who knew your name before your mother and father knew each other. You are not here by accident. Your life carries purpose. Your life carries an assignment from God. And so God telling Jeremiah, I am going to equip you. As we say, God does not call the equip, he equips the called, right? God even brings around us people who will equip us. You don't have to worry about that. I can't this, I can't that. When you start I, you're focusing more on yourself and less on God. When he calls you, your eyes must be fixed on him. But he sets people around us to equip us. Ephesians 4, 11, 12 lets us know. Can we get that up there? Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. It says that, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, God has even given people as gifts to the church to help equip you to fulfill your purpose, that which he has called you to. It would be so unfair of God to say, here is your assignment, but you don't give me the tools I need to get my work done, the tools I need to fulfill this assignment. You haven't equipped me. But God provides people whose responsibility it is, whose calling it is to equip you. It's why I always say pastors' jobs are not to do ministry. Their job is to equip the church to do the work of ministry. And to work that so that the entire body together can be edified, can be built up. That is the duty, that is the responsibility of these offices. And these people are gifts to the church. They are gifts to the church. Okay? Just like you are a gift to the church, whatever gifts God has placed in you are equally important as these gifts. But God gives these specific gifts to equip you for the purpose and the assignment that he has upon your life. I'm sure by now it's no secret in this church, in Emmaus Church, that, you know, my wife and I, my family are here to be further equipped. The Lord led us here to be further equipped to go down to South Florida and plant a church there. And God has led me, God has given me a vision of that church, a vision that I have pretty much described in terms of four pillars. The second of those pillars is that we want to establish a church, a new creation church. We want to establish a church where people will be equipped to fulfill God's, to discover and fulfill God's purpose for their life. People will be equipped to fulfill, to discover and fulfill God's purpose for their life. That's a passion of mine. It's something that the Lord has laid on my heart to see people actually discover, why am I here? And then to set them on the path of fulfilling that purpose. Because God has a purpose for everyone's life. God has a purpose and an assignment upon everyone's life. And so something we really want to do is to help people discover that. There are tools for that. There's a way to do that. We really want to make that a very key component of what we plan to do. But the Lord is always going to equip you, as he says to Jeremiah. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Everything that you need to fulfill your purpose, God has it. God has it already for you. Again, you need to go back to your manufacturer and seek his face, and he will reveal this to you. And then verse 10. See, I have this day set over you the nations, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God not only calls you and establishes an assignment upon your life, not only does he equip you and brings people to equip you to fulfill that assignment, but then he clothes you with the authority and the power to fulfill that assignment. God says to Jeremiah, as you are going to prophesy to the nations, your words to them will be, some of them will be brought down. Some of them are going to be planted. Some of them will be established by your word. Some of them are going to be destroyed. This is your ministry. And God gives him authority. God says, I'm going to back up your word. Heaven will back up your word. And whatever God has appointed upon your life, heaven will back up your word. When you stand in that place to fulfill the assignment that God has upon your life, heaven will back up your word. Heaven will back up whatever God has called you to do. Yours may not be to be a prophet to the nations. It may be the mother of homeless children, a mother to orphans. It may be that God sends you out of your comfort zone to a land far, far away. It may be that he moves you out of your neighborhood into a neighborhood that you would have never thought of living in. But there is an assignment upon your life. And yours is to discover that assignment and fulfill that assignment. And God will do everything else. All you have to do is show up and say, "Here I am, use me." He doesn't need your ability, he needs your availability. And finally, this is not a passage that I had up there, but if we can find Romans 11:29, can we find that and put that up on the board possibly, please? Romans 11:29. I'm going to end on this, and as I'm reading this, I'm going to ask our Jason and our worship team to come back up to the front. Romans 11:29. Romans, this is one of the passages in the Bible that I make sure that I have committed to memory. It's one that when I read it, I decided to memorize it and to never forget it. Romans 11:29. It says here, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God has an assignment upon your life. God has a purpose upon your life. He's not going to take that back from you. He's not going to take it back from you. But there will come a time when you will have to give an account for that assignment. You're going to stand before him one day and he's going to ask you, "What did you do with what I've given to you, what I gave you? What did you do with the purpose for which I sent you into this world?" And what answer will you have to give? It's not a mystery. You need to reconnect to the manufacturer, to your manufacturer. Go back to the Lord and seek his face. As you do so, the Holy Spirit will meet you. He will direct you. He will order your steps. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that your word has gone forth as you intended it to. I pray in the name of Jesus that as your people have heard your word, that you will transform, that all we have been transformed by your word in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that this word, that you will apply them to our lives, that you will set us on a path to fulfill purpose, a path to fulfill the specific assignment upon our lives that you have set. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we exalt your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.